Praise the Lord. If you're not afraid and you're not ashamed and God's given you a testimony, I want you to shout your brains out right now. Hey, yeah. Oh, somebody ought to dance about it. What a mighty God. What a good God. Hey, glory, 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 glory. King of kings, Lord of lords. He's been my healer. He's been my deliverer. He's everything that I need. He's everything that I need. Yes. Yes. Shout it out if you believe. Yeah. Yeah. Now take somebody by the hand and shout a little bit more. Two of you can set 10,000 to flight. Yeah, yes. Hey, yeah, yeah. Oh, mighty, mighty God. Worthy God, holy God. King of kings, Lord of lords. God Almighty, we praise you. We lift you, we magnify you. Glory to God. If you love what God's doing in your life, praise Him, clap your hands, lift your voice. Praise God. If you want God to have His way, praise God. I really appreciate the Word of God in the house this morning. Appreciate the good worship in the house, the prayer. Appreciate what God's people are doing. Here for just a moment before Brother Wells comes. Brother Ted Bellinger's brother was just taken to the hospital to do an emergency surgery on him. His name is Michael. Why don't we lift him up right now and just pray for him? Just pray the angel of God walk right into that place and lay his hand upon him, shake him and stir him and draw him. God, we pray you'd touch that place. Touch the man, touch his body, God, but touch his soul. In the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, God, mighty God, work your will in him. Oh, God, it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come to life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. God, praise God. You really want somebody that knows how to pray for you when you're in that kind of trouble. Praise God. You want to remember him. Appreciate so much the word of God in the house this morning. Brother Wells, we're delighted that you're here. Excited about what God is doing in your ministry and in your family. As he comes, I want you to extend your hand toward him tonight. Pray for his house, Sister Tiffany, the children. Just pray God's blessing and strength upon them. Mighty God, we love you.
Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, pray right now in the Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, God wants to break in on us right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mande oro koshande oro bayanda kate oro oro boko shata yata. Mayando si ando oro oro boko toya bah. Kande ondo si kanda bayande oro koto yaba haya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in this room tonight. And where he is, anything is possible. Anything is possible. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13. Hallelujah. I believe the Holy Ghost is here in a special way. If you're here tonight, you need the Holy Ghost. You need to get it tonight. You can have it tonight. In fact, you can get the Holy Ghost before I get through preaching. Hallelujah. If you need a healing in your body, the psalmist said he sent his word and healed them. Too often we put God in a box. We only get healed specific moments. But anytime the word's going forth, there's healing and victory and faith and miracles in the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel good in my spirit here tonight. I am not wondering what to preach. I'm simply waiting on the Holy Ghost. I feel God's going to do something. 2 Kings chapter 13. Give honor to Pastor and Sister Sutton. Love and appreciate them very, very much. And appreciate the force of revival that he has been as long as I've known him. Amen. And it's good to be here. Give honor to this church, great church. Thank you for your kindness, all your kind words. If you meant them, thank you. If you didn't, just let me believe you did. Keep living my little peaceful sleep dream. Amen, that everybody likes me. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 13. I'm not going to preach very long because there's not much here to preach. But the Holy Ghost wants to get us to somewhere tonight. And I feel in my spirit that some people could leave here and never be the same again. Ever. Amen. Verse number 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. Boy, don't you love the bluntness of the Bible. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow, and he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And I want you to watch what God does at the tail end of this chapter. They buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. It came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. And that little moment, then the Bible goes on into the rest of the story that began in verse 14. I want to preach tonight, the Holy Ghost to help me, the tragedy of a missed moment. Amen. The tragedy of a missed moment. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us. Father, we need you. Would you pray in the Holy Ghost right now? Father, we need you to help us tonight. God, anoint every heart in this house tonight that we could hear what you would have us to hear. I need you to help us, anoint us tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible tells a story of Elisha the prophet. The Bible tells us way over in the first book of Kings that God spoke to Elijah the prophet and said, I want you to anoint Elisha to be the prophet in your office or to stand where you're standing. In fact, God said before Elijah's life was even completed, he said, I want you to understand that I am already setting in order what's going to happen on the other side of your departure. I am already anointing the man that is going to take your mantle. The Bible said that the mantle that was wrapped around Elijah's head, that God spoke through in a still small voice. It was the call of God that was in that mantle. It was the call of God that came into Elijah's spirit when he couldn't hear God in the whirlwind and he couldn't hear God in the greatness of the things that he thought he could hear. But he heard the call of God in the mantle that was wrapped around his head. The call of God said, I want you to go and anoint Elisha. Elisha is introduced to us in that moment. We don't know him. We have never read of him before in the book of 1 Kings. He's just some guy that God knows. He's just some guy somewhere that the Bible does not bring us into his knowledge. It doesn't tell us who he is until the moment that God starts putting him into the place of God's continuing ministry in the earth. He's just this guy. I want you to understand something, that God already knew who Elisha was. He already had an understanding of this man's spirit and this man's mindset and what he was going to do when the call of God came to his life. He was just some guy that God knew. And so Elijah took the mantle. The call of God was represented in that mantle. And he went to where Elisha was. The Bible said Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen and he with the 12th. And the Bible said that Elijah just simply laid the mantle or the call of God upon his life and he continued going his way. I want you to understand something here tonight, that the call of God is always static. The call of God is ever moving. It does not stop and wait for you to get all of your ducks in a row to do the will of God. The call of God never waits for you to get your life exactly how you would like it so you can endeavor to do the will of God. But the will of God and the call of God contacts your life at moments and it demands a response. It does not stop and say, I'm going to wait for 5 or 6 years. But it's a moment that my mercy. It's a moment that quickly begins to fade. Only in these signal moments of the call of God, when it touches your life, do you really know exactly what God is trying to do in your life. And in those moments, you must respond with everything. You must at that moment leave everything. I preached it this morning. I'm not going to re-preach it. But in that moment of calling, that moment when the call of God slams into your life and then begins its descent on into what it's doing. It doesn't stop and wait on your response. It doesn't stop and say, tell. It doesn't explain itself. It doesn't give you a 5-year plan. It doesn't say, this is what we'll be doing. It doesn't say, this is where you'll land. It doesn't say, I'm going to give you all the prayers and I'm going to give you all the plans of how it's going to happen. No, the call of God brushes into your life and demands a response. Either follow me or I'll come again in a few years and I'll intersect you again and I'll call you again. And your response, I'm preaching to some people right now, that when the call of God comes in your life, you've got to burn the plow. You've got to break down the yoke of oxen. I say, I can't come back here. I can't stay here and exist, but I've got to go after what I felt. I don't have the answers. I don't know all the good things that God's going to do. I don't know the end. I don't know what will become of me, but I'm going to follow the call of God that I can't. Come on. In those moments when the call of God comes, you've got to rise up with courage. I'd say, I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to leave in the spirit. I'm not talking about the physical. It's a spiritual response. I've got to forsake everything. I'd say, I'm going to go after it. He begins to follow not a man, but a mantle. He's following Elijah, but Elijah and Elisha don't have the best of relationships. In fact, the only thing that the Word of God records between the two is Elijah saying, this would be a good place for you to quit. How would you like it, young preacher, if you preached and on your way back to your seat, your pastor said, you know, this would be a good place for you to just quit preaching. Many of us will never get over it. When the call of God comes into your life, it's undeniable. And it doesn't matter if your own pastor says, hey, you might as well give up here. Story of a young man walked into his pastor's office and said, I think I'm called to preach. The pastor said, I don't think you are. He goes out of there frustrated. He goes out and says, I don't understand. I thought he was going to tell me I was a good boy. And a few months later, he comes back and it's beating him to death. And he says, I feel like I'm called to preach. He said, well, I don't feel like it. And so he goes out, and finally about 6 months passes, and he comes in, he throws his Bible on the table, and he said, I know I'm called to preach. And the pastor said, I knew it all along, but if you only felt it and you only thought it, I didn't want to ask you. I didn't want to tell you because I wanted to know, will you say I'm going to follow that mantle for all the reason. It doesn't matter what comes or goes. I'm going to follow no matter what. Because I'm telling you, when you're following the call of God, there's a lot of places to quit. When you're following the call of God, there's a lot of Jerichos where Elijah said, this will be a good place for you to give up this ambition. This will be a good place for you to lay down this life and do something else. This would be a good place to quit.
Elisha said, I'm not leaving. Wherever you go, I'm going. Now, we like to preach it so we'll feel better about it. That Elisha knew all along he's going to get a double portion of the anointing. But the Bible records that that conversation happened moments before he was taken up. For the entire time that he's following Elijah and the mantle, he never gets a good boy. He never gets, hey, that's a good thing. As I preached this morning, those struggles when I was missing prayer meeting, my pastor never came to me and said, hey, if you're going to be a preacher, you need to be coming to prayer meeting. He just let me do my own thing. He let me go hunting and never said anything about it. Because God wants to know, are you going to follow me? Just because the call is moving. See, we got a lot of people that continually have to be propped up. Every few months, you got to go back and pray for them, Brother Sutton, lay hands on them, get everybody to come anoint them, pray for them, give them the courage to keep following the call. Because following the call of God can sometimes be a discouraging, disheartening, lonely place. You know, this would be a good place you just turn around. The sons of the prophets even come and say, hey, man, this would be a good place for you just to quit. I know your pastor don't like you very often. All he says to you is you ought to quit and turn around. You ought to stay with us here, man. We got a good thing going. He said, no. As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, and your soul liveth, I'm not going to leave that call because I'm not just following Elijah. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter if he don't make me feel good because he's not. I felt the call in that mantle, and I'm going to follow that call because I want to feel that again. So he follows. In just a few moments, after three times at least of Elijah saying, hey, you ought to just stay here, man. Let me keep going. You can't hack this. This is too hard. This is big boy stuff. He says, I'm going with you. I've forsaken all. I burned my plow and I burned my oxen. There's nothing else to go back to. And so finally, just a few moments before he goes into the heavens, he says, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. Elijah said, if you see me when I go away, it'll be done. Just a few steps later, if the implication in the scripture is true, he's taken away by the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The fire of heaven comes down and swoops him away, and the mantle falls down. And Elisha catches that mantle, and he goes and he smokes the river, and he says, where is the God of Elijah? God opens the waters. He never prays that prayer again. Because he's captured that thing that he was following. As Paul said, I've spent my life trying to get or apprehend that which I've been apprehended of. Something caught me and I don't know what it is. And I haven't laid my hands on it. But I've lived my entire life in pursuit of what I've been apprehended by. The call of God arrests your entire life. It doesn't apologize. It messes everything up. I want to preach to you that if you're an anointed preacher, if you're a preacher of the gospel, and I'm going to preach a preacher for just a second, God will take every dream and every ambition that you've ever had and every goal and every happy thought that you ever dreamed. He's going to take it for the cause of the call, and he's going to say, I want to know, will you follow me when the chips are down? I want to know, will you follow the call when there's nothing that's propping you up? And he finally begins to live in the call. And my pastor, and I don't know how to quantify this, and I don't even know how to explain it. And I've tried to explain it to young preachers, and they look at me dumbfounded, and they walk away frustrated because I can't put it into words. But my pastor said, don't work on preaching. Don't work on sermons. Work on your call. Get in the prayer room and work on your call. Lay on the floor and work on your call. Don't spend all your time studying and working and writing sermons. No, work on your call, because the call is where the voice comes from. The call is where the message comes from. It's not out of a sermon book. It's not out of your intellect. The call is what brings the anointing. The call. Work on the call of God. You don't ever arrive at the call of God. It's a continual pursuit. It's a lifelong experience. Those that shipwreck are the ones that lose the pursuit of the call of God. Because you never arrive. You never get to the place where you say, I think I can rest now. Because the call of God continually brings you into pursuit. And so it is with this in mind that we get to 2 Kings chapter 13. And I don't have time to preach it all, but I could go back and show you each one. We don't have time to do that. But in the life of Elisha, to this point, there's been 13 major miracles. Elijah had 7, so a double portion is what he asked for. And so he's laying, the Bible said he's sick of the sickness whereof that he died. And he's laying on his deathbed, and there's this unfinished promise that's resting in the atmosphere. And the eyes of the Lord, Brother Sutton, are running to and fro in the earth. And that unfulfilled promise is looking for somebody to be manifested in. The prophet's laying on his deathbed, and the Spirit is looking for a place to perform his word. And so the Bible says that the king walks in. I don't know why he came to see the prophet. Maybe he came as a political move to say, oh, prophet, we love you. We're going to miss you. He comes in and he expects to find a weakened, wearied prophet. But instead, there is no small talk. There is no, how's your mom and them? The prophet immediately feels the weight of the eternal. And he rises from his deathbed and he looks the king in the eye and he says, get a bow and arrow. And he does not wait. He doesn't give it all at once. He waits for each direction to be accomplished. Get a bow and some arrows. And I don't know if the king stood there saying, oh, you funny old man, you're sick, you're out of your head. Oh, this ain't a time to talk about bows and arrows. This is a time to lament your death and lament your life and celebrate the good times we had together. But the prophet won't be denied. And he said, get a bow and some arrows. And the look in his eye captures the king's attention. And he says, oh, maybe I better do what he says. And the Bible said, Each directive is given with sternness and direct. There's no wavering to his speech. There's no second guessing what he's talking about. There's no thinking, maybe he meant this. Maybe this is a spiritual. He said, no, get a bow and arrows. So the king goes, I don't know if he goes to his horse or he goes out in the hall, but he comes back with a bow and arrows. And the king said, this is a funny time here. I feel kind of weird here. This is... But the eternal is poised to change the entire history of civilization. In fact, the weight of what I'm preaching right now, we are dealing with tonight. In fact, the most talked about topic on your newspaper right now is what we're going to do about Syria and the eternal is waiting. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, the Bible said, in the earth, and they're seeking somebody whose heart, whose response will be right so he can show himself powerful on their behalf. And the eyes of the Lord find this king, and the eyes of the Lord see, the eternal sees what this man needs, and he says, here's a moment. This is the place where we can change history. This is the place where we can once and for all get rid of the... My God, have mercy. You go back and read your Bible all through 2 Kings. Every time you turn around, Israel is being tackled and being oppressed and being cornered by Syria. Every time you turn around, Syria rises up and impedes the progress of God's people. Every time you turn around, Syria raises its ear, ugly head against God's people and stops revival and stops good things and stops oppression. And God said, okay, here's a moment that we've all been waiting for. We're about to deal with Syria. Syria forever.
That's right.
He said, get a bow and arrows. And so he comes in holding the bow and arrows. And the prophet said, put thine hand upon the bow or get ready to shoot it. And so he puts his hand on the bow and he puts the arrow in the bow. Ready. And just to let him know what he is doing, don't be misunderstood about this text. The old prophet did not help him draw the bow and shoot it. But he reached up. Help me, brother. Get up here and get ready like you're going to shoot a bow. The prophet raised up out of the bed, and the Bible said he put his hands upon the hands of the king. And the anointing of the supernatural and the eternal and that unfinished miracle that's pulsating in the spirit, ready to become active in the life of this king. He feels that rush through the hands of that prophet. And for that moment, I want you to understand something, that this king knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly. There is no denying the power that he felt in the hands of the prophet Elisha, the hands that had performed already 13 major miracles, and the 14th is yet unfinished. And he feels the anointing of God pulsating through his spirit. And the king looks at the prophet, and the prophet says, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And the Bible is very choppy, very specific and to the point in this discourse. Open the window eastward. Specific. And he waited until he opened it. And the prophet said, shoot! And he shot. And the arrow flies out into the nether and sticks in the ground. And the prophet looked at the king. And he said, behold, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek until you have consumed them. The eternal meets this king. It's a moment that you and I would love to be in, when the thing that stops us at every turn, God said, we're about to get it over with. I wonder what our response would be in Birmingham tonight if the Holy Ghost opened his spirit into this place. I've said the spirits that have impeded revival all these years, we're about to tear them down. If the
the spirits that have raised their head against the church at every turn. We're about to tear them down. I want to tell you that this moment that we're in right now is not just something we can go through the motions. It was an eternal moment. It was a moment that had eternal consequences.
I've heard it preached my entire life. If he'd only known what he was doing. But I want to tell you, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew all the answers. The prophet was specific. Three different statements. The arrow of God's deliverance. The arrow of deliverance for you from Syria. The arrow of God's deliverance at Aphek. You're going to win until you consume. There was no wondering. There was no questioning. It was who, what, where, when, and how. It was God's spirit that was going to bring about a great revival. It was God's spirit that was going to bring about deliverance for this king from Syria at Aphek.
And the prophet looked at the king and he said, "Get the arrows." He got the arrows. He's got the arrows in his hand. Musicians, come, I'm getting ready to close. He's got the arrows in his hand. He knows what they're for. He knows why he is doing what he's doing. He knows who it is about. And the king is holding those arrows. And the prophet said, "Smite the ground." A seemingly insignificant response. A response that seemingly has no power in its own performance. See, when the word of God goes forth, it looks like I'm just dancing and shouting. And to the untrained eye, I'm just doing some insignificant thing. But my response is in the eternal. God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. And that king's holding the arrows of his deliverance, the arrows of God's power working in his life to deliver him from his arch nemesis, to deliver him from the thing that has impeded his life to the point that it's frustrated his entire country. And he's holding the spirit of God in his hand to execute the deliverance that he needs upon his life. The king holding the arrows, and the prophet said, "Respond! Smite the ground." The word there is strike the ground, to hit it. He didn't say shoot the ground again because God's already done the shooting. He said, "Respond. Smite the ground," to strike it with an overhand. The Bible says that the king smote the ground three times. One, two, three. I wish I had a big handful of arrows. And the word used in the text is, he stayed. It simply means he stopped. His response didn't have the passion. His response didn't have the faith to respond into the eternal. And when he quit, the prophet is enraged. And he says, "Why didn't you smite the ground at least five or six times?" He says, "Because you didn't respond right. You're only going to get three victories. When for this moment and this moment only, you could have destroyed Syria from off the face of the earth." We're dealing with Syria right now. And if this king had responded with just two more hits on the ground, there wouldn't even be a Syria. But because he didn't have any faith, our country's in an upheaval right now. It's the tragedy of a missed moment. A moment when he could have gotten the deliverance he needed in his life just by his response to the word of God. You see, God didn't ask him to do anything crazy. He just said, hit the ground, man. It ain't hard. But I guess the king felt foolish, or he didn't believe in what he was doing. And so he just kind of, man, this is kind of silly. And the Bible says Elijah died. And that moment that was so pregnant with performance was missed by the lack of response. And they buried Elisha. And that miracle still waiting on a place to come to pass. And here comes a band of Moabites. They ain't even believers. And they threw the body of one of their dead friends into this hole. And when that man's body hit the bones of Elisha, that moment that the king could have had came to pass in the earth. And that man received life and crawled out of it. Because the eternal was watching the earthly and said, what's your response going to be in the spiritual? You see, sometimes what we feel to do seems so foolish. And we sell ourselves short because we feel silly about what we're doing. But the heavenly never feels silly. And the eternal never jokes around. And if the king had just spit in the ground three more times, he would have gotten what he needed. I wonder how many times as you stand, I'm finished preaching. I wonder how many times we've been to the point of God performing in our life everything we need him to do. Wow, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you feel what I'm feeling right now, but for the last 30 minutes or so, I've been feeling something running up and down my back that I hadn't felt in a long, long time. And I'm telling you, God wants to heal somebody tonight. God wants to deliver somebody tonight. God wants to set somebody free from some chains tonight. There's a nemesis that's in your life. I need that. I'm telling somebody right now that this is your moment. This is the moment to get victory in your life from here ever. This is the moment that I'm telling you, you can change the history of your family. You can change the history of your children. You can change the destiny of what your family becomes by your response in this place right now. Come on, somebody. Come on, I want you to get your spiritual radar on. I want you to pray right now. Do you talk in tongues? I'm telling somebody. The eternal is waiting in this room right now. He's watching us. Somebody needs to respond in the spirit. Come on. You need to do what your Holy Ghost is telling you to do right now. If you have to, get out on your hands and knees and smite the ground. Smite the ground in response to spiritual. I'm going to get what I need right now. Come on, I'm telling somebody that God's waiting on our response. This is a moment. I don't want to miss a moment. This could be the moment I get my healing. This could be the moment that my life is supernaturally delivered from the chains that have me bound right now. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody needs to respond in the spirit. Come on, you need to dance right now. I'm telling somebody right now in the Holy Ghost, if you need a healing, I want you to run as close to the front as you can and throw your hands in the air. And I believe God's going to heal somebody right now. Come on. It's your moment. It's your moment. Come on, get your mouth open. If you need the Holy Ghost, respond to what you're feeling right now. Get your hands up. Get your mouth open. Let your spirit open itself up into the Holy Ghost. Come on. Don't anybody look around. Nobody looking around. Let's respond in the spirit. Close your eyes. Get your hands up. I'm going to get free forever. I'm going to get free forever. Loose me right now from the bonds that have me bound. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, somebody. Come on. Respond like you never have before. Respond right. Come on. Respond in the eternal. Respond in the eternal. This is the moment of your deliverance. This is the moment of your deliverance. My God, they edible.